I'm loud. Morning, everybody.
Morning.
Welcome to Rockwood United Methodist Church on this rainy and it feels humid to me morning. I guess I'm not the only one. So it's good to see all of you here. I'm glad you were able to make it. Let's see, a couple of announcements. We will have church council meeting at 3 o'clock today here at the church to do the paperwork for charge conference. It's not a lot of paperwork, and most of it is a repeat of last year because of the pandemic and everything, nothing has really changed. But for those of you who are on church council, if you can be here at 3, and we'll go over what paperwork we have and approve it and get the proper signatures, all that kind of stuff. We have Bible study at 6 at Terry and Nora Lee's house. We are going through the general epistles right now, and so we're in the book of James. And James isn't a long book, so we're about halfway through it. We're getting into the parts where James says stuff you don't like to hear. So it's a very convicting part of the book of James. So everyone is welcome to join us for that, and of course, we'll also live stream it. And we will have trunk or treat here at the church under the awning out there on Halloween at 6 o'clock from 6 to 8 p.m. Wanda has put in the bulletin. If you would like to donate candy, please feel free to do so. Nancy has put some boxes at each of the tables that you can put candy in to donate. You can drop it by the church, whenever as well. We're going to be as safe as we can be while still allowing kids to have trick-or-treat because one of the things a lot of people are doing is having drive-through, and we felt like that kind of makes it pointless because I understand the safety issues. We all understand the safety issues, but part of trick-or-treat and Halloween is wearing your costume and all that kind of stuff. So we're going to set up two separate tables instead of one. All the candy we're going to have put in Ziploc bags. We'll have sanitizer and all that kind of stuff. So we'll make it as safe as we can while still allowing for the kids to feel like it's Halloween. So, and if you can't donate candy or aren't able to get to the store, you can always just put some money in an envelope with a note on it that says for trunk or treat candy, and we'll get that separated out, and somebody will go and buy candy with that as well. Other than that, I think that's all of the announcements that I know of today. So let us begin our worship service with the chiming of the hour. Our first hymn will be Open My Eyes That I May See, number 454. And we will do the first and third verses. And I know I keep going back and forth, but I know we can't sing, but I feel like standing adds reverence. So let's stand and join in together in the words of this hymn, 454, verses 1 and 3. Thank you. Remain standing as we affirm our faith together with the Apostles' Creed, number 881. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. At this time, we want to bring our prayer requests as well as our praises before the body and before the Lord. I have a few that I've brought with me. One is Liliana is coming back home today, so she and her grandmother are on their way from Ohio as we speak, so I pray that they would get here safely. And let's see, what else? Over at Chevron, Y'all may know Linda, who attends Chevron. She does in-home health care. And one of the ladies that she takes care of is, she's in hospice. And Linda said that she hasn't eaten for 5 days. Her kidneys have shut down. But she's still hanging on. And for what reason, I suppose only she knows. But just keep the family in your prayers. And unfortunately, Linda didn't tell me what their name is, but the Lord knows who they are. So if you will, just keep them in your prayers. And keep Jane and Bud over in Chevron in your prayers as well. Bud's been having some trouble with his back, and Jane is still recovering from her stroke, and her recovery is actually miraculous is the only word. She's had an amazing recovery from her stroke. But she still has some issues that crop up from here and there, some weakness, and sometimes her legs try not to do what they're supposed to, that kind of stuff. Overall, she's doing very well. But just please continue to pray for them, if you will. And let me think. Oh, I know one. My cousin Parker, which we've prayed for him before, he's now a recovering alcoholic. And his mother's birthday is this Tuesday, which would be my aunt. And of course, she passed away back in January. So if you will, keep him in your prayers. As you can imagine, he misses his mother. And anybody who knows anything about recovery and things like that knows that anniversaries such as this are really good times for relapse. And so just pray for him that he would stay strong, but that God would be with him during this time. It's her first birthday without her for them. So other than that, I can't think of anything. Can you think of anything I mentioned earlier that I didn't mention now? Okay. So, oh, that's right. Marianne is doing better. She posted on Facebook yesterday, and she seemed to be more lucid. So that's wonderful news. Have you heard if they're?
They've given her 7 units of blood altogether, but they think the bleeding has stopped.
Okay. Okay.
To hopefully give her strength back.
Yeah.
Laura was a lot more positive last night when I
talked to her. Okay. So she's in Park West still. She had to go to Park West earlier this week because she was having some bleeding and they weren't sure what was causing it. And yeah, they still don't know. They haven't figured out where it was coming from, but hopefully, as Terry said, it has stopped. They did give her 7 units of blood, so that may be why she's doing better. We never realize how important certain things are in our bodies until we don't have them. And then also we want to pray for Larry and for Arville and for the family. Arville is over at the bridge still, and I guess like anybody else, he has his good days and his bad days, and sometimes it's his good mornings and his bad evenings and that kind of stuff. So just keep the family in your prayers. I know that Larry would appreciate it. And as we all know, Larry does a lot for us and for lots of other people. And we certainly appreciate that, Larry. I don't want to embarrass you or anything like that. But Larry has a lot going on. So please just keep him and his family and his father in your prayers. Does anyone else have any requests they'd like to share? I won't embarrass him, but we do have a praise. Jordan has made it to his 21st birthday this week. So I think he knew I was going to say something, so he ran out the door. See, he's hiding in the narthex, but I don't want to embarrass him. I just wanted to let everybody know that Jordan's birthday is this week. So if you think about it, wish him a happy birthday. So if no one has any other prayer requests, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for this day and for the many blessings that you give us. Lord, we thank you for this time that we can spend together in fellowship with one another and in worship of you. Lord, we invite your spirit to dwell amongst us as we attempt with your help to worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, you have heard our requests. You know our requests that we didn't share for whatever reason we may not have shared. For all of these requests, for all the things that concern us, for all the things that are on our minds and on our hearts, for the things that cause us to struggle, and yes, Lord, for the things that we thank you and we praise you for, may you be in all these situations. Lord, we pray that you would give healing, wisdom, discernment where they are needed. We pray, Lord, that you would give us patience, that you would help us to have confidence. kindness towards ourselves and towards others. We pray, Lord, that you would be with our leaders that are local, our leaders that are business leaders and religious leaders and non-government leaders, as well as our government leaders from the local level all the way to the presidency and even to the international level. We pray, Lord, that you would be with all leaders, all those who have to make decisions, who have to make difficult decisions. We pray that your wisdom would be with them, and we pray that your peace would be upon them. Lord, as we go forth in our worship service, may we be reminded that worship is about you, not about us. Help us, Lord, to get out of the way so that you may do the work of the kingdom through us. Lord, we pray all of these things and so many more in the beautiful and glorious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, as we pray together the words that he taught his disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. One thing I didn't mention, but I wanted to mention in case y'all have heard about it or will hear about it, Tennessee is in the red zone, according to the White House, as far as COVID-19. That does not affect our ability to meet for worship, at least not currently. I contacted the DS just to double check. She said as long as we follow our plan, we're fine. If we don't want to for whatever reason, then that's entirely up to us. But as long as we follow our plan, then we should be fine. So, but keep, of course, our state. I think it's our state and kind of the four north of us in that circle with Kentucky and Ohio and such. They're all kind of in that area. So just keep our states in your prayers, if you will. Let's see. We think about breaking things up a little bit and having our next hymn now. Work for you? Okay. Let's do our next hymn. Number 359, Alas and Did My Savior Bleed. And we are going to do the first and the last. And please stand as you are able. Thank you. You may be seated. At this time, we want to say a blessing over our tithes and offerings. And just as a reminder, there are multiple ways that you can give. We have our baskets in the back there as you're going to the narthex, as well as here. And those are taken and counted by Wanda and Jobel. And so you can do it that way. You can mail in or drop your checks or money off in the mailbox. You could stop by the church. Wanda and I have been trying to be here a little bit more during the week. So you can do that. And you can also give online on our Facebook page. At the top of the page is a pinned post that gives you a link to the online giving option. So you can do it that way as well. And as I always say, follow the Lord's leading with your tithes and your offerings, and give wherever you feel that He is leading you to give. Let us say a blessing over our tithes and offerings. Father, we thank you for this day and for the many blessings that you give us. As we prepare to give back of those blessings, Lord, may we be reminded, as always, we do not give out of guilt or fear, pride or greed, or any negative reason. Rather, we give out of love and devotion for you and love for neighbor. May you bless the givers. May you bless the receivers. May all come to know Christ, for it is in His name that we pray. Amen. As you're able to, please stand for the reading of Scripture. Our Scripture today is found in the book of Exodus, chapter 32, verses 1 through 14. When the people saw that Moses was so long in coming down from the mountain, they gathered around Aaron and said, "Come, make us gods who will go before us. As for this fellow Moses who brought us up out of Egypt, we don't know what happened to him." Aaron answered them, "Take off the gold earrings that your wives, your sons, and your daughters are wearing and bring them to me." So all the people took off their earrings and brought them to Aaron. He took what they handed him and made it into an idol cast in the shape of a calf, fashioning it with a tool. Then they said, "These are your gods, Israel, who brought you up out of Egypt." When Aaron saw this, he built an altar in front of the calf and announced, "Tomorrow there will be a festival to the Lord." So the next day, the people rose early and sacrificed burnt offerings and presented fellowship offerings. Afterward, they sat down to eat and drink and got up to indulge in revelry. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Go down, because your people, whom you brought up out of Egypt, have become corrupt. They have been quick to turn away from what I commanded them and have made themselves an idol cast in the shape of a calf. They have bowed down to it and sacrificed to it and have said, 'These are your gods, Israel, who brought you up out of Egypt.' I've seen these people," the Lord said to Moses, "and they are a stiff-necked people. Now leave me alone so that my anger may burn against them and that I may destroy them. Then I will make you into a great nation." But Moses sought the favor of the Lord his God. "Lord," he said, "why should your anger burn against your people, whom you brought out of Egypt with great power and a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians say, 'It was with evil intent that he brought them out, to kill them in the mountains and to wipe them off the face of the earth'? Turn from your fierce anger, relent, and do not bring disaster on your people. Remember your servants Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, to whom you swore by your own self, 'I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, and I will give your descendants all this land I promised them.' and it will be their inheritance forever. Then the Lord relented and did not bring on his people the disaster he had threatened. This is the word of God to the people of God. Praise be to God. You may be seated. So the golden calf is one of the more famous stories in Scripture. The book of Exodus has a lot of famous stories in Scripture. And if you've watched the Ten Commandments with our good friend Mr. Charlton Heston, you'll know, even if you don't know the book of Exodus, you'll know a lot of the stories. Everything from the plagues to the parting of the sea to the calf and all those kinds of things. They've been popularized in movies such as the Ten Commandments. So a lot of people know these stories. They may not always know the exact details, but they know the stories. And in our society, we still will use references to stories, like the golden calf. And we talk about having golden calves of our own, or idols of our own that we don't particularly cast down, but we put in God's place. Now, the interesting thing with this passage is God is giving Moses the law while he's up on the mountain. And we know from the book of Exodus that God has appeared to the Israelites by a pillar of cloud during the day and a pillar of fire at night. And we know that God has told them that this is his presence. And even whenever they were getting ready to cross the Red Sea, God took this cloud, this pillar of fire and smoke, and put it between the Israelites and Egypt to protect them, keep them safe. So the Israelites knew where God was. They had seen God. They were in God's presence. I mean, they were at the bottom of the mountain, and up on top of the mountain was the cloud of the presence, and Moses was up there in it. So it's not like they didn't know where God was. They said, we don't know what happened to Moses. We know he went up on the mountaintop, but that's all we really know. Maybe God killed him. Who knows? But they wanted to worship. In fairness, they wanted to worship. So what do they do? They take their jewelry. The irony is that a lot of their jewelry was basically a reward, if you will, for the Egyptians to the people. God, if you recall, had the Egyptians give the Israelites a lot of their gold and their wealth and things like that. And so they take this wealth of God that was given to them, this blessing, and they fashion it into a golden calf. Now, we don't think much about what calves and bulls and these types of things mean. I mean, we understand it. We know what a cow is. We know what a bull is. We understand how they work, the general idea. But for us, they don't mean as much as they did within this culture. The bull was a symbol of strength and a symbol of fertility, of male fertility. And so one would invoke the bull god whenever one wanted some strength, protection, maybe good crops, those types of things. And so in the Israelites' defense, they weren't choosing, you know, a weak kind of god to represent Yahweh. They were choosing a stronger god, one of the strongest. I told a joke over at Chevron, and it went over so well that I figure I'll tell it here, see if it still goes over. And you've probably heard this one, but just pretend you haven't. So the story goes that there's a guy from the Environmental Protection Agency, and he's out going around, and he's doing, he's checking out different farms and ranches and things like that to make sure that they dispose of wastewater properly and all those kinds of things. So he goes to this particular ranch, and Knocks on the door. The rancher comes to the door and he says, "Sir, I'm with the Environmental Protection Agency. I'm just here to check how your groundwater is working and everything, and make sure your facilities are up to par and all that." And the rancher says, "Okay." He says, "Well, I just want to let you know, don't go in that field over there." The guy pulls out his badge. He says, "You see this? This shows that I'm a duly authorized federal agent. I go where I want to go." So the rancher says, "Okay." He shuts the door. So the guy from the EPA says, "You know, I bet he's hiding something over there. I'm going to go check that place out first." So he climbs over the fence, gets in there, and all of a sudden he hears this noise. He turns around and there's an enormous bull in the pasture. And that bull starts to charge him. He starts to take off running. He's running and running, and the bull's gaining on him. They go by the house, and the man opens up the door and says, "Show him your badge." Bulls don't care. If you've ever been around a bull, you know that bulls don't care. They are not intimidated by us. They may be pinned in, but in a lot of ways, a bull is pinned in because it wants to be. Bulls can do a lot of damage. They're strong and they're powerful. And so the Israelites said, "We want to show our God is strong and powerful." But the irony is, he's up there on the mountain. He's right there. You can see the evidence of him right there. But the problem is, Israel didn't know that God. They knew the bull God. Jump forward a few thousand years, and Jesus comes to earth to dwell amongst us. And Isaiah tells us that he would have no form of beauty that we would think anything great of him. He probably looked like an average guy. I know that a lot of our pictures, he kind of looks like Fabio or something. You know, he's got these long locks of hair and this nice beard and, you know, his muscles and all that kind of stuff. There's an interesting thing in the story of Zacchaeus in the Gospels. The story that we know and that we get told is that Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and that's why he couldn't see Jesus, so he had to climb up the sycamore tree and so he could look down. Well, the Greek is probably better translated that Jesus was too short for Zacchaeus to see. And that is in accord with Scripture. Jesus wasn't impressive by any means, not in a physical way. He's not the guy that you pick to be your king. So the teachers of the law, the Pharisees, the religious folk, they said, "Jesus doesn't fit what we think the Messiah should be, so he must not be the Messiah." Again, God is in their midst. He's right there. He's literally so close you can touch him. But we want to make our golden calf instead. We have our God, and we like him better. You know, the beauty of idols is that you can control them, right? Make a golden calf, get tired of the golden calf, melt it down, make something else. You get mad at the golden calf, you can stick it in a corner somewhere, forget about it. If you have a God like the Pharisees and the teachers of the law had that sort of resides in the Holy of Holies and that's it, and only the high priest can approach him, you can kind of control him. You know what to do. You know the rituals you have to do. You can control him. God is in their midst, but they don't want him to be there. He can't be God. Jump forward another 2,000-ish years. And here we are today, 2020. And I have to wonder, what are our golden calves? What are the things in our lives that are God, that we hold on to even when God is in our presence? You know, in our church, we have our Christian flag here. We have our American flag here. Most churches, especially in the South, have the Christian flag and the American flag in the United States. There's nothing inherently wrong with that. It shows, obviously, that we are Christians, and it shows that we live in the United States, which is a wonderful country. And as I told them over at Chevron, the United States has its problems, but everything that involves human beings has its problems. Complaining about problems without offering solutions is fruitless. Nobody cares. Everybody can complain, right? But I've known people from other countries, especially people in African countries, I've known to point this out. When they see the American flag in our sanctuaries, they're confused. And they say, "Do you worship America?" Because in their cultural context, everything that's in the sanctuary is for God. It's our God. It's what we worship. It's what we represent. It's what represents our God. Now, the thing about it is, if you try and remove the American flag from sanctuaries, lots of people will get very upset. Very upset. We understand that the flag represents our country. And we understand that we love the United States and we're thankful to be here and we're blessed to be here. But oftentimes, we put love of country right up there with love of Jesus. I don't know that we intend to, but we do. And it affects our ability to be Christians. It's funny, you know, we recite the Apostles' Creed every Sunday. The Apostles' Creed is a shortened creed. There are a number of creeds that the church has. They all essentially say the same thing. Some of them are very long. Some of them are pages long. But they say, they give what we believe, our essential creed. The Apostles' Creed talks about the Trinity and what each member of the Trinity is and does, and it talks about the different things that Jesus did for us, and it talks about our future hope and resurrection and things like that. And that's what we believe. And the church has said, if you affirm the creed, you are a Christian. Everything else is negotiable, if you will. There are ways of looking at things, be it how do you baptize people? Or can women be pastors? Those kinds of things. But the church says the creed is what binds us all as Christians. All Orthodox Christians affirm this creed. It doesn't say anything about love of country. It doesn't say anything about political party affiliation. It doesn't say anything about whether or not you think Black Lives Matter or All Lives Matter. It doesn't say anything about whether you think you should defund the police or support the blue. It doesn't say anything about whether or not you need to vote for Trump and Pence or Biden and Harris or third party or don't. It doesn't say any of that stuff. Because the church is part of the eternal kingdom of God. Every government, every country in the world rises to power of some sort and then declines in power. Some drastically. Rome fell. I mean, let me tell you, Rome fell. Britain just kind of got smaller, you know. But all empires rise and fall. The church is eternal. The church is the eternal kingdom of God. But we let these things divide us. We let these things inform who we are and what we do, and we miss what Jesus said. We miss where Jesus is. Jesus tells us that whatever you do to the least, you do to me. That means that whatever you do to the people who can't do for themselves, you do those same things to Jesus. You effectively do those things for Jesus. We come up with all kinds of reasons why we can't or shouldn't. We're good at that. You ever noticed everybody's a lawyer when it's time to, you know, follow the law, right? We're good at figuring out all the loopholes. We're good at trying to come up with why we can't and why we shouldn't. But Jesus made it simple. He said, whatever you do to others, even to the least, you do the same thing to me. Brothers and sisters, we have to remember. We are Americans. And that's something to be very thankful for. We are blessed to be Americans. If you've ever been to other countries, there are a lot of people in a lot of other countries who would do just about anything just to be able to drive down to Walmart and buy groceries. We're blessed in this country. We are. We absolutely are. But the moment that we allow ourselves to be Americans, Republicans, Democrats, independents, liberals, conservatives, moderates, black, white, brown, purple with green polka dots, whatever, before we are Christians, we have ceased to be Christians. Christians follow Christ. That's not always easy. There's a reason it's called the way of suffering. But like the hymn says, the way of the cross leads home. The way of suffering leads to the eternal kingdom. So I would submit, do good. Do the work of Christ before you do the work of any other entity, political or otherwise. And you will never, ever be wrong. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this day and for the many blessings that you give us. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to live in such a great country as this. Help us, Lord, to love our country, but to love our King more, to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. And now, brothers and sisters, receive the benediction. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, may you be blessed with all the gifts and all the blessings of heaven. And receiving those gifts, may you give them to all who you encounter. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you are dismissed. Go in peace.